How is everybody doing? And welcome back for another Strength Chat episode. And what an episode I've got for you this week. I've got two very special guests for you. I've got two champion strong women with numerous national, international titles to their names. Today, I'm joined by Jenny Todd and Donna Moore. How are you both doing?
Doing all right, thank you.
Yeah, it's all good today.
Thanks a lot for both of you taking the time to jump on. How have you two been doing? What have been happening in your worlds recently? That's the only thing with three people on a podcast. Who's going to go first?
Well, I can go first if you like. So at the moment, we're training for the UK Pathways, which is England's Strongest Woman. So we're both going to be competing in that, and both at different weight classes to what we used to be. So it's quite an interesting time for both of us, and plus it means I get my training partner back. So it's exciting.
And Jenny, how's things? What's been happening with you, building on what Donna said there?
Yeah, I've seemed to have come out of retirement. So it was with the introduction of the under 73 category that came into play at official Strongman Games last year. The England's promoters, so Ant Brown, who runs 100% CA promotions, he runs the England's qualifiers, England's final, Britain's Strongest Woman. He's brought it into play. We had a discussion. The weight category is a little bit small at the moment because it's brand new, and people either don't want to move up from 64s or they don't want to move down from 82s. So it looks a little bit naked. And I thought, it's a bit sad. You know, eight people in the 73s and then 12 people in every other category. So we found a loophole to bring me back into it. And I think the weight class is going to suit me a little bit better. It was quite a struggle for me to get up to 82 kilos and fill that weight category because I don't have a dramatically big appetite. So it was a lot of forced feeding and it wasn't that nice. So I naturally sit around without force feeding myself 74 kilos. So it's not going to be a bad time. And it's nice to have something to train towards again. And it's nice to have my training partner back as well. There's been no reason for me to get training with Donna because she's just driven, focused and so far ahead of me. But now we're heading towards the same goals again, so it works again.
Oh, cool. I wish I had that had that mentality with nutrition. I've actually gone up two weight classes since I started powerlifting, so I think I maybe need to take a leaf out of your book.
I need your appetite, man.
I've got plenty of food in the fridge. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I've got fuck all. That's probably my issue.
I did a little bit of a brief introduction there, but you've both mentioned one about, you know, changes in weight classes, getting back training together as well. But for anyone listening who might be new to, you know, strong woman, strength training, or don't know how you both got involved in training and working together, do you both want to do a little bit of a background to yourselves?
Sure. Donna, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So you went from the very start of strength training.
You can do.
I will condense that down. So I've been doing strongman for, it's actually about 10 years now, believe it or not. So that seems fairly crazy to me, actually. But prior to that, I just used to go to the regular gym, do gym classes, like body pump, body step, all the things that you would never think that I'd be able to do now when you're looking at me. But I used to thoroughly enjoy them, and it was great at the time for my mental health at the place that I was, and also losing weight and getting fit, really, which was the primary task at the time. I used to be really kind of overweight and having quite a bad time in my life. So the gym and the body comp classes really saved me. I met new people and literally just had loads of fun. And when you're having fun doing stuff, it's not a chore or a task to do it. So it was a great benefit for me. And just kind of progressed through different stages of going to the gym, meeting different people along the path, really. And I did my first strong woman competition in 2012. I used to live in Inverness in Scotland. So it was a competition in Scotland. And just from then, I just loved it. I thought this was the best thing ever. And I'd seen the World's Strongest Woman when it used to be on the television in the early 2000s. And I remember watching Jill Mills and all the other ladies there thinking that this was amazing. You know, they were, to me, they were, well, they still are. Women are more interesting than the guys. So it was wonderful to see it. And then obviously it all just disappeared. But when I used to watch it, it wasn't really a thing at the time in my life that I would have been able to do. But I just remember thinking it was cool. So, you know, to come and be able to do something that you watched on TV once and thought it was cool is pretty cool, to be fair. So since that time at that first competition, I've no idea how I've ended up here where I am. So there's 3 World's Strongest Woman titles, Europe's, Britain's, England's. Competed across the world. You know, I'm really lucky to have done all the things that I ever wanted to do. You know, I wanted to win the World's Strongest Woman once, and that was done and ticked off 2 more times. So now, as Jenny said, we're working in different weight classes. And for me, mainly that's just because I'm definitely happier in my own self being a lighter body weight. But also the open women's class is so crazy and full of such large ladies that literally I'm just giving away too much body weight, really, to be able to deal with any of it. So being able to achieve the 82 kilo class is definitely better for me, and I sit around 83, so it's not really going to be any problems for me to have to cut. Initially, when I did a competition a few weeks ago, I did have to cut a little bit more, but I don't want to have to sit in the bath or sit in the sauna or have to message Jenny every like 20 minutes to say how terrible it is. So we're just cruising along here and just waiting to see what the pathways in the UK bring. And of course, I would love a world title in a new weight category at the OSG in November. So that's one of the things that we're planning, and whatever else happens in the year, I'm not sure, but that's where we're headed.
Oh, nice. Jenny, do you want to give your background?
Yeah, so I kind of, a little bit different. I mean, I was coming into my 20s and drinking an awful lot and eating an awful lot of shit. And I'm quite a slim person. Like, I'd always been really scrawny growing up. And, you know, when your metabolism starts working against you when you reach adulthood, I was enjoying myself a little bit too much and started getting a bit podgy. I was also working on the doors. So I was a door supervisor at the time, and I thought, well, I need to lose a bit of weight. I also need to learn how to defend myself in case I get into trouble at work. So I took up kickboxing initially. I wasn't into weightlifting. Actually, my opinions of muscle-bound women at the time were a little bit, not quite what my opinions are now of it. I used to think it was quite revolting looking, and, you know, but kickboxing was the thing. It was a skill, it was something that I could really get my teeth stuck into. I really enjoyed, excuse you, I think Donna was sneezing there. I really got a little bit obsessed with that. Not a little bit, I really got obsessed, and I do have quite an addictive nature. So I got into fighting. I had a couple of fights, kickboxing fights. They didn't go that well because I'm not a natural born fighter. I don't like hurting people, and I certainly don't like getting hit in the face. So that didn't go too well. I kind of moved on from that because I'm tall. I mean, I was 5'11", and when I started weight training, I've shrunk down to 5'9" because of, you know, like spinal compression. And a little bit sad, but never mind. I lost quite a lot of weight to try and make these weight categories with the girls that I was fighting. Because I was so tall and they were so short, I think I actually made it down to about 63 kilos. And as I said, I walk around, at the time I was walking around at 70 kilos. So that was quite a dramatic weight cut for me. And I was quite emaciated. I looked like a concentration camp victim. So something had to change. I was getting pushed about a bit on the doors. So I started taking up strength training. My boyfriend at the time had always been into weightlifting and strength training. So he kind of, I followed him along and enjoyed it more than kickboxing and put on a bit of muscle, started getting really strong, started getting noticed in the gym. I was certainly, you know, the strongest woman in the gym that I was training at there. A local strongman approached me and said, like, I think I was lifting the first time I picked up 160 kilos in the deadlift, and he watched it. And then he says, like, well done. Do you know about the sport of strongwoman? I'm like, no, I watched strongman at Christmas time. I didn't know there was a women's division. He says, well, you need to look into it because I think you'll do well. So I did. And then about a month later, I'd entered a competition, East Midlands Strongest Woman. I think within 2 days of having that conversation with Mark, and yeah, about a month later, me and Donna were actually there, but we didn't know each other. I won the under 75 or under 70 kilo category by quite a dramatic amount. And it just kind of went from there. The sport I became obsessed with. I was already obsessed with training. And yeah, it was kind of a bit of a roller coaster ride after that. That was in 2013, and my last competition was in 2017. So a good 4 years of just getting trophies and running away.
Yeah, you both mentioned there, because I always like to ask about backgrounds, especially how people get involved in strength training, because I'm always interested in, like you mentioned there, kickboxing, doing like the classes at like the local gym. The only reason I started doing powerlifting was because I couldn't play as much rugby anymore. And one of the coaches that I used to work with basically gave me a 12-week program and said, right, there you go, you're going to just do something more, you know, competitive, aside from, you know, not playing as much rugby. And especially speaking to, you know, a lot of women that are coaching the gym, right, I've got this podcast on, look at Donna, look at Jenny, like, you know, they're competing, enjoying strength training. Who are kind of your influences in strength, in strong woman, in, you know, because obviously people will look up to you two, but who do you two sort of like look up to, or influences, or people who, coaches that you've had along the way?
For me, for like with strong woman, because I didn't really know anything about anything, and now everyone's so much more accessible on social media. So obviously at the time that I started, like 10 years ago, you couldn't even like video yourself and put it on, you know, Facebook without putting it on a, you know, a computer and uploading it that way. So I think for me initially it was just a lady that I'd competed with at my first competition, because they were from all different parts of the world. So they really, really inspired me, because they were really strong, but also they were really nice. You know, when you're going into something new that's kind of daunting, it was really wonderful to be made feel so welcome. But for me, and in the position that I am now as well, it's the ladies that have kind of come before me that have paved the way for what Jenny and I have been able to do and like continue to do. So Jill Mills, when I first met her in real life, I nearly had like some kind of attack. It was wonderful. It was wonderful to meet her. And now she's been, you know, she's been my referee quite a few times. And that's wonderful for me. That's like the best thing ever. Kristen Rhodes, Gemma Magnusson, the ladies that have, you know, been consistently doing Strong Woman and brought it to kind of where it is. And the new ladies, you know, everybody that's really trying, they're pushing the boundaries of what, you know, women's strength training can do. And because of the influx of more ladies into the sport, you can, you know, really be inspired by what other people are able to achieve, especially, you know, through the lighter weight categories as well. So it's really kind of like a culmination of everything, really. You know, the initial people that started it all off for me, but then this community that you've been immersed in, and just to take inspiration from all the ladies that are really just trying their best to, you know, on whatever journey that they're doing. And if they're wanting to do Strong Woman and compete, then that inspires me to keep going as well. So that's kind of my in a nutshell. I love to see people accomplishing their goals, feeling happy with themselves, and trying something new. So that's kind of what inspires me to keep going.
Oh, cool. Jenny?
I didn't really initially have any inspiration at first. I'm kind of internally driven, so I don't know, like getting into it, I didn't know anything about the sport. I didn't know who was involved in it. There were no role models around. I guess my training partners at the time were my role models. My boyfriend at the time, Paul, and the guy that we were training with, Connor, who was a little bit younger than me, but a guy, and I would use him as, you know, my goal. Because he naturally has an awful lot more testosterone than I did, and I was always trying to beat him in training because, you know, it was achievable, but it was kind of out of reach. And then when I met Donna and we became friends, that then became my target. So I would look up to her. She was in the open class, I was in the 82 class, and we would be training together, and I would be pushing to try and get a little bit closer to what she was doing. And generally just trying to better myself. And that's really all I ever saw training and competing as. Yes, there are other people involved. And when it came to looking at the competitions that I'm training towards, I would look at who I'm up against and see where they were with training, and maybe use some of that as my driving force for pushing harder in the gym. But it mostly always came from within. I didn't really look at external sources to motivate me. I'm very motivated to just be better than I previously was. Like, I find it really empowering and really encouraging to beat my former self. And that's really where the obsession with the sport came from, you know, the empowerment that it gives you as a woman who's not supposed to be physically strong. You know, we're supposed to be soft and gentle and, you know, all of that crap, but we're not, we're animals, you know, we're mammals, we're supposed to be physically strong. And if you go back to looking at the history and our ancestry, you know, the women worked really, really fucking hard. Maybe harder than the men, you know. We have to nurture as well as be physically demanding, you know, have physically demanding jobs. So that to me was all I really needed. But there's so many women in the sport now that are wonderful inspirations. I must say that I think my clients, just being in the journey with them, they really boost me up. You know, they really lift me, and I see the awesome things that they do and how encouraged they are and how excited they are when they achieve something that they set out to achieve. You know, they believe in themselves when for a while they maybe didn't, and that's really the inspiration, seeing people, you know, just being better than they once were and believing in themselves more. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful to watch, because like Donna says, you know, when we first came into the sport, it was only a few years ago maybe, but, you know, social media was a very different beast at that point. I'd probably call it a beast now, you know, it's a demon, but back then it was really simple, and there wasn't an awful lot for us to look for. So we didn't, we just kind of cracked on. Now there's a wealth of motivational people and inspirational athletes. So
I'm glad you both mentioned there about getting excited about your clients, because I know when I take people to you know, powerlifting competitions, or see them in the gym, I sometimes get more excited about sometimes my own training, seeing
totally
them. And as I was nodding along there when you were saying about looking at other people that you'd looked at, Jenny, in other competitions, it was as though you'd listening to a conversation that I had with a client this morning. So she's looking to do her first competition, and she's relatively one of the strongest in the gym compared to men and women. She came in the other day, she's already ordered a singlet, and she's already been looking at I've been having a look at this competition more so than me thinking about planning ahead. So she's already thinking about going from there. So yeah, that'll be interesting for her first competition. On a little bit of a tangent, you both mentioned sort of social media growing, and you can type in powerlifting or strength, or type in any tag, and you'll find coaches or people on social media. Do you think that that allows maybe the entry point of people getting involved in strength training, you know, and women getting involved in strength training a little bit more accessible and a little bit easier? That kind of makes sense with social media, so they can see, you know, athletes, you know, such as yourself doing these things, so they can get involved in, you know, strong woman and strength training.
I'd say so.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I can see, you know, I think a lot of gyms now are getting a few more different bits of kit. It's not just sort of like the barbell lifts, because ultimately, like, truck pulls, Atlas stones, it's fun. And do you think that's part of the reason, like, you've touched on it there, you know, it's pretty cool to see the stuff that you've seen on telly and you do it yourself and, you know, enjoying it? Do you think that's why people sort of buy into it a little bit more, as opposed to just doing all of the cardio side of things, which a lot of people start off doing?
It's the only reason to get into training, you know, find something that you really, really enjoy, get your teeth stuck into it and see how far you can go with it. That's really, you know, where Donna originated. She was just, she found something that she could enjoy. You know, she really liked the music that came along with the exercise classes. And I really enjoyed, you know, the masculine aspect of kickboxing. I really enjoyed beating the shit out of my boyfriend. and then we get into strong woman. It's fun, it's exciting, it's using really weird implements, it's empowering, it's doing exactly what we see on the TV at Christmas time. And it's like any sport, like you can enjoy running, you can enjoy going out on a bicycle, but it has to be fun, otherwise you're not really going to see much of a benefit from it. You know, whatever floats your boat, just go for it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's got to be part of it. If it ever becomes a chore or you dislike doing it, you can always change things, add something else in, or, you know, you've got to enjoy it. One thing that you both sort of touch on as well is the community side of things, because I think sometimes, you know, especially within the strength world, sometimes you can think, you know, oh, it's going to be a little bit more intimidating, whereas you've both mentioned that actually it's been fun, you've made friends from competing against other people, and, you know, be feeling more of a community. Do you think, well, there's kind of two sides to this, what do you think maybe puts people off, you know, the strength training side of things, if it is intimidating? And then, you know, how did you two overcome that, or feel empowered by getting involved in the community side of things, if that makes sense?
With the community thing, now it's because it's started to grow, you know, that's, like we said, it's more accessible and you can just chat to people like on social media, like you know them and you see them all the time. So, you know, you can kind of like pick up where you left off, even though you maybe didn't really see them in real life before. So I think that's a good thing. But at the start, it was intimidating because it still can be, because you're still nervous, you're still competing, you still want to like win. You know, that's like Jenny and I would both say that. So, you know, but the community is really, really quite nice, especially here in the UK. We've just been at UK Strongest Woman, and apart from the fact that it was like a really nice show and the events were decent and there was a great big giant crowd, all the ladies here are lovely and we're all very, you know, very supportive. But I think it's, you know, people finding it's intimidating. I think you can find anything new intimidating. It's not until you actually give it a try that you find out that it's not. And I know Jenny and myself would be really welcome to other people, you know, the women in the gym, or if people would approach and ask questions about how to get involved in strong woman stuff, we would definitely, you know, encourage them to, you know, maybe take a strongman Saturday class, or, you know, come with us for a session or something, just to see if you would like it. And maybe you wouldn't be as intimidated if you kind of you know, went with other people that are used to, you know, used to kind of doing it. So I'm not really sure if that kind of answers your question, really, but it's, I think if you try it out and you like it, you'll definitely meet people that are just like-minded like you. You know, everybody felt intimidated and maybe a bit nervous about trying something new, but if you're all there together wanting just to get better and have fun doing strongman, then, you know, you're all in the same mindset and it just kind of all gels, it all gels together.
Yeah, no, I think you answered, that really well, because it is that thing of, I think people build it up, can build something up in their head a little bit, whereas actually if you give it a go, it's like with anything, you know, if you give it a go, what's the worst that can happen? You know, best case scenario, you enjoy it. I'm like, yeah, actually, I quite fancy doing this. I'm going to do this a little bit more. Worst case scenario, all right, you might hurt yourself. Hopefully no one out there will hurt themselves. But, you know, you'll be like, oh, well, that's not for me. And, you know, like what you said there, Jenny, whatever it is, you know, you're gonna enjoy it, and then, you know, get involved with it. And I always think, especially with the strength side of things, it does become a bug. I always say is that you catch it like a bug, because once you get involved in it, 9 times out of 10 people want to keep doing it, because there's, you know, it's cool to lift, you know, heavy things and do these things. And you both kept mentioning it, you know, feeling empowered, feeling motivated, feeling. I don't just think the strength side of things is a physical thing, but also I think a mental side of things, which can help with that, which I think is a big factor why people want to get involved in strength training, because I think the confidence that it brings in the gym, you can also carry that outside of the gym as well. Would you both agree with that? Or yeah,
big time. Yeah, I mean, yeah. If I think about the kind of person that I was before I got involved in either kickboxing or strength training, but I mean, kickboxing really took me out of my comfort zone and put me amongst an awful lot of people that I wouldn't normally kind of integrate with. But strength training really, really changed me for the better. And like, if we had 19-year-old Jenny and Hiano, 19 years old, you know, only really coming into your own and you don't really know yourself yet, but still, the difference between me now and then is night and day. I wouldn't have the confidence to have this kind of conversation with you guys. I wasn't really good at kind of gelling with big groups of people. I'm very much an introvert, but it gave me the confidence to, you know, pretend to be extrovert. And I can thank strength training for that. And I can really, really thank my progress in the sport and competition for that, because it's really the mental aspect of it is you can be rewarded every single session, and that those constant rewards is just reinforcing that good behavior and that good habit that you're getting in the gym. It boosts confidence so much. You need those constant reinforcing, positive reinforcements in your head, and you get that from strength training. You don't get that from going on a diet and seeing the weight on the scales changing. Like fuck that. Get into the gym and add another rep that you didn't get the previous week, or add another kilo onto it, or do another set. You know, improve what you're constantly doing on a weekly or a daily basis. And you see the scales you see the weight on the scales change, you see your figure change, and you see your confidence completely change and grow. And it's just so fucking easy. If you just, yeah, you just focus on the task at hand, everything kind of develops around it.
Right, I'm putting that bit out, and I'm playing that in the gym for the, that's just going to be in a loop in the, in the gym. I like that, yeah. It is, you know, and it, you know, you, I think people get hung up on certain things, whereas actually, you know, exactly what you said, you know, it's just that case of there's going to be a lot more benefits, you know, from it. Whereas you don't need to get hung up on the scale sometimes by, you know, having those wins in the gym and that confidence you can take from the gym, you know, it's going to have knock-on effects from there. So obviously chatted a lot about the background, sort of like thoughts on strength training. The one thing that obviously I wanted to, and you both mentioned at the start, obviously going to be competing at the same time. And obviously as coach and athlete, How does that work? How does that relationship work in terms of, you know, planning competitions, in terms of training together, bouncing ideas off each other? How does that work?
I guess trust and communication, and that's something that there's no coincidence that the athletes that do best with a coach are the ones that are great communicators. They are students of the sport themselves. They don't rely on their coach to teach them everything, because it's not possible unless you're around the athlete 24/7. You know, Donna does her own research. She watches videos. She picks out points that she likes, certain techniques that she likes. I have a little bit of input with that as well, but really the important thing is she does her research, she digs around, she follows the plan. When she feels like she can't follow the plan, she has a good reason why, and she has a wealth of experience in training anyway, so she knows the kind of the right route to take when things aren't feeling good, or if things are feeling great, she goes off plan and runs away with it. It's just, you know, she's a great trainer. She doesn't specifically need a coach. It just, I guess it kind of helps. Like, I have a coach, it helps to take that thought away. You know, I don't need to worry about programming. Donna doesn't need to worry about programming. She can just go in there and kill every session. And we'll have a catch up afterwards. She'll send me some videos. She'll say what she liked or what she didn't like or what she could improve. And we'll just kind of thrash it out. That's pretty much it. She's a great communicator. She's really heavily involved in her training. She loves it, and she doesn't fill herself full of excuses. And she's a student of the sport. I think that is the key. That it really, really is the key. If you want to be good at something, you have to learn how to be better every single time you step into the gym or into the competition. You know, how can you improve what you're doing now as what you did previously?
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah, definitely. I would 100% agree with that. Obviously, Jenny and I's relationship has evolved over the years. But I totally trust her with all of my training and my programming. She knows me well. And like she said, we both communicate about what's working, what might be different, what I would prefer to do. And then she would probably go, no. So it's...
Not always.
Not always, no. But it works out for both of us that way. It is just like a really good communicative relationship, but like she says, I do what I'm supposed to do every time that I go. You know, there's no like taking the shortcuts or anything like that. I, you know, work for the results that I've had, and that's just the way that my brain works. You know, this is the plan and this is what we'll do. And also, because we communicate, we get to feedback off each other, the same as if I train with Jack at Spartan. So I've obviously been doing strongman for quite a long time, and so is Jack, but every time that I'd go, I would listen to the feedback that he's given me or things that I could improve, and I would implement that like every time. You know, there's no point going and having these sessions with somebody if you're not going to take the advice of what they've said. I mean, ultimately as well, if I think that it's not something that suits me, then we discuss that. And, you know, feedback to each other of why we should try it this way, or okay, this is, you can go back to the way that you were doing it before if it's better for you. But I think it's like self-involvement and learning and taking on board all of the points that you've been told, and you know, implementing them to yourself where applicable. But like I said, you know, I trust Johnny. We've worked together for such a long time now, and that's the communication is definitely the major aspect of that.
Yeah, you both said there, you know, I think sometimes when people think about working with a coach, it's just a case of just do as I say and that's it. Whereas I think, you know, having trust in each other is really important. Speaking to each other is really important, because, you know, sometimes it'll be a case of if you're carrying knocks or niggles or there's something going on outside of the gym, that's really important to be able to, you know, not just the training side of things, little bit, you know, like if things are going well, we can run with it a little bit. Do you think as well from, you know, both your experiences and the amount of time that you've been competing that you can learn off each other as well from the different backgrounds and, you know, the other things in terms of the research and reading and experience that you've both had that you can learn off each other as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't just stop with Donna. There's a few other girls that I've got in my books and, you know, they're really successful athletes, and again, it's not a coincidence. They do their research and they come back at me with these coaching cues. You know, I tried this, I moved this, I was thinking about getting this tight. I absorb that, I keep it in the bank for any time. But you know yourself, coaching Stephen, it's like one cue doesn't fit everybody, and one technique doesn't fit everybody. So if you have different athletes who are constantly trying to better themselves, and they're doing a lot of trial and error with setup, with application, with internal cues. If they relay that to you, you know, they think that it works and you see that it works, like I cling on to that and I'll use that. I'll keep it in the bank and, you know, bring it back out when it's needed for another client.
I think with that, because you've both sort of said there as well, sort of the learning side of things, you know, taking on what people say, because especially with, you know, I like going training at different gyms and you end up chatting with other people and people always have a different way or like I'm a big fan of an analogy. So whenever people use one, I'm like, that's pretty good that I'm going to try and use it. It always work. When I tell it to people, you know, I think you've got to pick your moments when to use it. But in terms of the style of being athletes and coaches, do you think it is a case of that learning experience and sometimes maybe getting things a little bit wrong to then think, ah, right, okay, I'm going to try it this way a little bit? Do you think that's part of the process? And do you think that sometimes people are a little bit scared of getting it wrong and trying things and learning things and developing that knowledge themselves?
It's the key to learning. If you don't fail, how do you ever really learn? Yeah. I'll use, not that Donna's York was particularly shit, you know, but she never fucking won a York event until we really, really figured out, you know, you're shit at that. Why are you shit at that? Let's get fucking better. And she channeled her mind and she focused on the task and we came up with different strategies and she really applied herself to it. And lo and behold, she won a York event. It's through failure that we are the best learners.
Yeah. And do you think that's one of the biggest challenges in terms of maybe the struggle in terms of actually, you know, we like the things that we're good at because we're going to get stronger at them, whereas it's quite easy to sometimes neglect the other things, you know, from sort of like both sides of the table, if you like?
I think that it can be. So if we use like the yoke that Jenny just used as the example, so that like it wouldn't be my favorite event at all. I just kind of felt quite negative about it. And obviously as the sport's progressing, they're just getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And it just felt my like soul escaping every single time I had to pick it up. And I was just in a world of like it was like my mentality around it that kind of made it difficult for me to progress with that, because I was just like, oh, not again. Just, I don't want to do that. It's just awful. And I could feel it be awful. But with Jenny, we kind of approached it a little bit differently and used a lot of earthquake bars and hanging bars and things like that. So I wasn't always overloaded by the crushing weight, but obviously it's still transferable because I really had to work hard on, you know, stabilizing the yoke. And that was the main problem for me, really. So, you know, the things that we implemented helped me as well with my mindset, because I wasn't getting kind of crushed by it or felt like I was getting crushed by it, and my negativity surrounding that particular event kind of went away. So when it came to the competition that actually won in a yoke event, and that would be like the best thing about that particular competition, I just know that one thing. It was because my mindset around the negativity to do with it had totally changed. And that's a lot of what I would focus my training and competing on, is actually my mindset now, because my body can do all the tasks. It's whether my brain's in the correct place to be able to do that. So I think approaching things with more of a positive, you know, positive mindset for those events that you don't like, or finding a way to make it be better so that you're not always in that negative mindset when you're training, then, you know, it's the way to break down that kind of pattern that you feel that it's an awful event, you know, like people don't like squatting. Well, let's find something different that we could do, like, you know, these earthquake bars or things like that, where you're not totally overloaded by the weight all the time and just dreading actually doing it. So that's how it worked out for me, like you say, with that yoke, is just finding a way to work around that negative mindset for that particular event. And it's obviously, it paid off. So I'm super happy.
You mentioned there quite a lot, you know, about the mindset side of things. And as you were chatting there, I was kind of nodding to myself, because there's people in the gym which will either get to a certain exercise or sometimes a certain weight, and it's like, oh, I can't go any further than that. It's too heavy. And the kind of, like what you say, have that negative mindset. Do you think it was the commute? Because, you know, we've mentioned before, communication is really important. Do you think it was that communication in terms of, right, let's work on, you know, using the yoke as an example, the communication surrounding that, or the fact that, you know, it was it the exercise variation? It's one of those things of, is it the program or is it the actual coaching in terms of, right, how do we change our mindset around that? Because, like I say, there's some people who struggle with a certain weight or a certain exercise.
I think it's like Jenny had said before about your training, it's like focusing on like the small wins, especially through your training. Whereas, you know, you see some people in the gym and they're like, oh, it's only 20 kilos more that I'm going to put on the bar. And I was like, that's quite a lot. So, you know, if you're struggling with 20 kilos less and you think another 20 kilos more is going to make it better, then, you know, it's not. So, you know, take a few more kilos less, or, you know, for a more positive win. So you put your 20 kilos on, you're just going to fail, and then you're mad, and then you don't like it, and you still don't like the exercise because you just failed. So it's, you know, finding the happy balance and like sticking to the, well, obviously I stick to the training program, but not always like going like gung-ho for it, I think. And our communication has always been good, and the yoke was just my mental state around that. So it's literally having to change that. I was never, that might not have been the best at yoke, and it, but it wasn't really shit, but it needed to be better because it was the big, one of the bigger holes in my like armor, if that makes sense. So to be more competitive, I needed to make that be better. So then that's why we like totally worked on that. And then my mindset around that changed, because I knew also as well that I needed to do this different kind of training to make that yoke be better. And, you know, obviously get a better result, because I'm competing, obviously being competitive, then you want to do your best and, you know, win. So, you know, it's maybe I have a slightly different mindset about that then, because I'm wanting to win. But I think it still translates to people that aren't necessarily competing, that, you know, just take some small wins every now and then, because like the big wins do take a really long time to come. Yeah. Be patient.
Well, it's that thing, isn't it? You know, they all add up. I think sometimes, you know, you can zoom in on something and be like, "All right, this was the worst session because I was tired or whatever else." Whereas actually, when you zoom out a little bit and think about adding up all those pieces together, you know, from a top down view, it can be a little bit better. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, session to session, there's all the little things that you can add, but, you know, over time it does build up. It's a little bit of a slow burner. And I think the biggest thing that, you know, especially with the clients that I work with, is that, you know, you aren't going to do just a 12-week program or a block of training and then that's all your strength training achieved. There's always going to be something else. You know, what you were doing 3, 4, 5 years ago, you might have to change it 3, 4, 5 years down the line, but you might be in a better position. You might have to change it. You know, things change in terms of how you're progressing. The other thing, obviously, you both mentioned at the start of the chat as well, in terms, you know, dropping down weight classes and changing weight classes. How was sort of, you know, because I do think in terms of strength training in general, everything's become a lot more professional in terms of recovery, in terms of programming and you know, the standard, if you like. How do you both manage sort of the nutrition side of things, the recovery side of things? Has that changed over time, or have you put that as a little bit more of a priority, or is it still, you know, quite a hard thing to manage, to, you know, manage the training that you're doing as well as working, as well as all that sort of stuff? Because you've both mentioned different aspects then of, you know, the nutrition side of things.
I think it's been something that we've both really prioritized from the start. I don't think it's a coincidence with any other successful athlete. You know, they check all of the boxes. You know, they leave no stone unturned, and that's why they're successful. You know, that's why Donna and I can really push training as hard as we can, because the nutrition is optimal. You know, we're good sleepers and we prioritize sleeping. We manage our stress levels quite well. I'm speaking for myself now, but outside of looking in, I do believe that Donna's very good at managing her stress levels too. And I think that it's a great downfall for some people. Stop it. You do. You are really good at it. You're ridiculous.
Well.
There's like an insight into a coaching call then between you two. Then you do manage to film. You do.
She fucking does.
Yeah. I think, like Jenny says, it's taking, like, you know, the all the aspects of it, where it's no point just pushing hard in the gym if you're not recovering well. And that's, you know, been a journey of evolvement for me. But as obviously I've got older as well, then you kind of have to look after everything and, you know, tick all the boxes. So, you know, we really do try to do that. And like Jenny says, I think that's why, you know, people are successful, because they do look at all of the other outside factors. And controlling stress is probably something that I'm fairly good at. When my brain's working properly, it does really, you know, makes my body do really good things. when it's not, it's all just shit. But generally I do control everything, you know, fairly well. There's lots going on in everybody's lives as well, so you just have to sometimes take some time just to either put your priorities in order or just take some time to just go and sit and breathe somewhere, which is one of the many things that I do.
I'm glad you sort of both mentioned, and I always like to ask that question, because again, I know I touched on it earlier, especially with, you know, social media and that sort of stuff, you only see snippets of everything, whereas like what you said there, Donna, of, you know, everyone's got, you know, some amount of stress or some things going on, and, you know, it's not always a case of, you know, the elite level, you know, athletes such as yourselves aren't, you know, stress just doesn't bypass you. There is going to be times that it's, but it's how you manage it, you know, the food that we're eating, the recovery, making sure that we, you know, you're getting enough sleep, which I think sometimes people can neglect and can wonder why isn't weight going up on the bar? Why am I struggling with this? Whereas, you know, we can only make as much progress as how much we can recover. You know, there's been times where it's a little bit like, I had one woman come off straight from a night shift, come in and train. And she was like, I'm sure she had odd socks on and then was trying to do an exercise. And I was like, what are you doing? I said, I thought you were on night shift. Oh yeah, I was. I went, well, go home, go to sleep. You're not training. You're not training today. She just completely seemed, you know, and there wasn't going to be any benefit from doing that session. And I was like, it's the start of the week. We've got plenty of time to get it in, or we'll just change it around and we'll move it into other things. I think, you know, the training side of things, even though, yes, you know, when we're talking about competing, lifting certain weight reps, all that sort of stuff, but there's no good doing it if we're absolutely knackered and, you know, we're going to injure ourselves, because then you aren't going to compete. You aren't going to put more weight on the bar, and you're probably going to be in a, you know, sometimes a worse position than that. So, yeah, I'm glad you both mentioned about that. The next thing that I kind of wanted to chat, obviously you've mentioned there about, you know, recently competing, but then also upcoming competitions. What does the future hold for Donna and Jenny, and what does Strong Woman look like as it's growing and more, you know, women are getting involved in strength training and competing, and as that sport's growing? I know that's quite a big question.
Yeah. Go, Jenny.
Future for me is simply, I'm just returning back to my sport. So we'll see what England holds. ideally, I want to win it. If I win it, that'll probably dictate what I do next. If I don't, I'm pretty sure I'm going to take the rest of the year out and work on myself and work on coming back next season bigger and stronger. Because, I mean, I've only had, like, so far, well, I made that decision after the England's finals that I was going to get involved in it again. So that's 10 weeks to prep, and I've not really done any heavy lifting. I've certainly not done any strongman training or event-specific training for a long time. So, yeah, we'll see what the results are, and then I'll decide what's going to happen after that. As regards to the sport, wow. It's a weird time to be back involved in it because it's exploding before our very eyes. The introduction of Clash on the Coast, and where there's like real decent prize money for every single weight class, and great recognition for every single weight class as well. And not just the men, for the women. You know, they've really been showcased in spectacular form. I mean, being streamed on ESPN is... wow, what more could we ask for, really? Prize money in ESPN. It's amazing. It's really, really growing, and it's still so unknown in the real world. I think it's really going to go places. Now, the UK scene is being broadcast on TV. Glenn Ross, Ultimate Strongman, you know, he's grabbed the opportunity, and now he's recording UK's Strongest Woman. Last year, Donna won it. And was it televised last year? It was televised on some channel, wasn't it, in Ireland? But I think this year it's broadcast on Sky.
Yes, he did say something about it being on Sky this time. So that would be amazing if it was. So, yeah, definitely it's growing like at a rapid rate. You know, if you see the ladies and the standards are so high as well. So it's fantastic. And like we said about the Clash representing all of the weight classes, that's fantastic as well. The UK's that's just been on, you know, the arena was full, and there's such positive feedback, you know, that some people hadn't ever watched a women's competition before. They were just going to watch the guys. But actually they, you know, came over and were like, you know, the women are just amazing, this entertaining, who knew you'd be able to lift all that stuff, you know. So that's, you know, bringing more fans and more people to the sport just because they've never been sort of exposed to it before, but now that they have, and they think that it's great. So, you know, that can only be positive for it. You know, like Jenny said, it's just growing, and it's fantastic to see.
Yeah, definitely.
But
for everyone listening who didn't who isn't excited by that as a teaser, big things are coming. So yeah, it's exciting to see it. And I know for me, you know, doing the majority of the strength stuff in the gym that I work at, it's kind of good to see people wanting to get involved in it, and then, you know, wanting to progress through and compete, because, you know, I think it was always a case of, I think people were a little bit, like what we touched on earlier, maybe a little bit intimidated about competing, whereas actually, you know, one of the big things that I always want people to take away from it is fun. The only reason I've started playing rugby, because it was fun, I enjoyed it. I then found something else, which, you know, I always did strength training, but then competing, powerlifting, doing a little bit of strongman, you know, it is fun, it is cool, and it, you know, it allows you to keep doing it. Thanks a lot for you both taking the time to jump on. Really, really enjoyed chatting with you both today. If anyone's got any questions about what we've chatted about today, wanted to see the content that you put out there, or maybe get in touch with you guys, where could people find you two?
Instagram, generally tracks like Todd. And Donna, what's your Instagram handle?
Donna Moore Strong Woman. And I'm not always that great at looking at all the messages, but I do try my hardest, trying to fit as much of it in as possible. So, yeah, that's where you'll find me.
Awesome. Thanks a lot for you both for taking the time to jump on. Thanks a lot to everyone listening, and I will see you all next week.